I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
An Erios production.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm sitting here in my tie-dye sweatsuit that I love so much, and I'm really excited to share today's episode. I'm talking to a songwriter of pop music, who's worked with the likes of Troye Sivan, Ben Platt, Louis Tomlinson. You guys, it's major. It's major. This is a process that I am fascinated by, and that is songwriting. And more than that, songwriting for pop stars. Like, what is that process like? And there are a few different ways that it can happen. One, you're in the room with the pop star and you're like, tell me about your life. How do you feel? What's going on with you? What do you want to write about? And then also just writing a song, sending it to your publisher. And then the publisher tries to move it up the ranks and you don't know what's going to happen with it. It's a very exciting process. I'm very excited that I had this conversation. Guys, can you tell I'm trying to be excited about life? But I am excited about life. I feel like we're moving in a good direction. And we're moving in a good direction. More to say about this. But first, I just want you to know the name of who I'm speaking to today. I'm talking to Jesse Thomas. God, I loved this conversation. As a solo artist herself, she's known as Tomboy. And her music is amazing. Go to Apple Music and Spotify. That's where you can find Jesse's music as Tomboy. And this conversation was killer. She moved to Tulum. And so you can hear, she's sitting outside during the interview. And I feel like you guys will be able to tell, you'll be able to feel the jungle vibes while we're having this conversation. It was great. Really enjoyed it. And I learned so much from this conversation. Brittany, as a writer herself, I did a few episodes on Brittany as a writer, the songs that Brittany has a writing credit on, to try to, you know, get a better understanding of my best friend who I've never met. Well, I met, we all know, very briefly, but it's not like it was a meet cute. It was technically at a meet and greet, but the song that stands out for me the most, where I'm like, okay, this was Brittany, the songwriter, is Every Time. I believe it's her biggest hit out of any song she has a writing credit on. And it's her most personal song. I feel like it comes from this very, very poignant moment in Brittany's life. You know, guys, I think that the breakup with Justin and that year when her aunt passed away. I believe it was her aunt who passed away, and that her parents were officially splitting up during this time, and then the breakup with Justin. I think it's what changed everything. We were on one track with Brittany, and that moment was just like, poof, and then we went in a different direction. I feel like, you know, when it's like written in the stars, it was like the stars were like, whoa, this was written up here. Now we're going in this direction. I also want to talk about this. Are you guys starting to have conversations with your friends where you're like, whoa, what the fuck did we go through last year? Because I'm starting to have those conversations and scratching the surface. And, you know, I was driving down the highway last week and I literally shook and I was like, oh God, I used to wash my groceries. That was a weird month. And then there's so many other examples of that. Like, God, I was afraid to get the mail. That was a weird week. So I just want y'all to know that I love us. That's what I'm trying to say. I love us, you guys. And just wrap your arms around yourself and just say, we're going to be okay. That was okay that things got weird. You know, that's okay. That's okay. Cause we did our best and here we are coming out on the other side. And just be gentle with yourself, you know, during this time, just be gentle. Just be like, that was weird. Now I'm going to go, like eat a croissant. That was weird. Why don't I just go for a little walk outside? That's what I'm going to do. So I feel like same thing with Brittany. Brittany had a weird year. Imagine, just like, guys, can you imagine being Brittany? Obviously, she's been in the freaking pandemic as well. And then she's going through all this stuff in court. And then the freaking doc comes out. Yeah, I bet she did cry for 2 fucking weeks. So everybody who's like, that's to paint her in a bad light. Guys, it's not. The bitch needed to cry. Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I've had a couple weeks where I cried like every day because this is a lot. Let's just normalize it. It makes sense. Of course she cried for 2 weeks. Why is that a bad thing? It's like when people are like, oh God, she's crying. Oh, so then it can't be real. It's like, well, it's like, yeah, she cried for 2 weeks. And then you know what else she did? During those same 2 weeks, she also laughed every day. And she got in her weird little treadmill and she lifted her tiny little weird weights. And she like FaceTimed with her boyfriend if she wasn't allowed to see him because of quarantines, which is another thing she talked about on her Instagram. You know what I mean? She's just like everybody else. She's like everybody else. And she's at the same time like no one who's ever walked the face of this planet. Both things can be true. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm doing great, and I also feel jitsy at the same time, you know? Good and bad and everything in between. I'm just vibing, guys. I'm just vibing today. Listen, I love each and every one of you. We're doing great, you guys. I am excited for summer. I got a jumpsuit just for this summer. I was like, I'm going to get myself a spray tan, and I'm going to wear this jumpsuit to everywhere I'm invited to. Everywhere I'm invited to, I'm going to wear this jumpsuit. And it's going to be my summer 2021 re-entering the world jumpsuit. I can't wait for it. Don't worry, it's not orange. I'm not going to go to jail. I'm not going to be committed. It's not going to be white. It's not a straight jacket. Oh, gosh. I'm just so proud of each and every one of us, Brittany included. So, you guys, let's get into it. Oh, really quick. Guys, I might be sounding loopy because I also injured my back. I went too hard on the Peloton, went too hard on it, and I couldn't move. And so I went back to see Dr. Ron, my chiropractor, who truly is one of my best friends, and I didn't see him for over a year, and I really missed him. I love him. He's like a character from like a USA show. You know, is that where they say characters wanted? All the USA shows, those characters crack me up. Is that characters wanted? Anyways, I feel like Dr. Ron is from one of those shows. And he always looks like he just got back from Italy. And he is super Italian. and he just loves life. So anyways, he cracked my back. He got me back on track. Yeah, my back has been killing me. And it got me thinking of another person I miss. But I can't go back to see because I'm not like fully injured. I don't need physical therapy. But that's my physical therapist, Melody. And I miss her. I miss my physical therapy location. That place, God, I just loved everybody. I love, because I would socialize. I'd ask everybody how they're doing, what's going on. And my husband recently injured his shoulder. We're doing great, you guys. But I was like, you have to go to where I went for physical therapy. So he started going there. And I get so jealous that he gets to see Melody when he goes. Oh, all right. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Jesse Thomas about the process of writing songs for pop stars.
I woke up pissed off today, and lately everyone feels fake. Somewhere I lost a piece of me, smoking cigarettes on balconies. But I can't do this alone. Sometimes I just need a light. If I call you on the phone, need you on the other side. So when your tears roll down your pillow like a river, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. When you're screaming, but they only hear you whisper, I'll be there for you. But you gotta be there for me too.
Jesse, thank you so much for doing this and talking to me about something that it's my dream to be able to write songs, and I've given it a go a few times. Can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and your career? And I know that you are a musician and you write music for yourself, and then you work with artists as well.
I moved to LA to actually be an actor like 12 years ago. Maybe longer at this point. And my girlfriend at the time was a musician, and she lived back in Kentucky where I'm from. And because she was always playing music and stuff, I kind of was playing music as well at the time as a hobby. And when I moved to LA, this was like the easiest way to share music files was actually on MySpace, because you could just post them and then send a link or whatever, rather than sending huge files. So I was sending music like to her back and forth, kind of trying to help her write songs and stuff. I'd never really done that. I think I just was doing it then because I was like trying to low key talk to her through my songs. Like, you should hear this cool song. And it's like about like how long distance relationships suck or something. And anyway, so somebody heard my song that I wrote on MySpace, this producer guy. And hit me up and told me he thinks I have a cool voice and stuff. So he was like, we should work together. And maybe, you know, maybe you could try music. And I'd only been in LA for 6 months. So I was kind of like open, even though I really wanted to be an actor. I was kind of like, well, this would be cool. Like, I never knew I could be like a full blown rock star, you know? So I took him up on it, started practicing a lot more and visiting him in the studio. And I just, like you, thought that was the coolest job you could possibly have. So I'd never really even been a musician before. I'd dabbled in guitar. My dad was a musician growing up, cover band, but I just kind of was like, yeah, romanticized by the whole idea of it and started working real hard with this guy. And I ended up pursuing an artist career with that guy for about 8 or 9 years until it just kind of faded out, even though I have, you know, that's a whole nother segment, you know, I could go in on that. But I once my artist career was kind of plateauing, and I was getting, you know, the older you get, it's harder to be a rock star, obviously. So I think I just decided at one point to try to switch to songwriting because it seemed like a more viable option for me. And I didn't know what to do, being like putting all those years in a musician, like how do you change careers? So I just started writing songs for other people really intentionally. And that kind of parlayed my way into like meeting a few new people outside of like me pursuing artistry. I was meeting like the publishing people, which is like the songwriting segment of the music industry. And I just kind of, started over on pursuing that. And a couple years later, I was able to finesse a publishing deal with Warner Chappell, which is a publishing company that it's kind of like a, it would be similar to an acting agent who helps them find work and takes a percent. It's kind of like that's what a publisher does. They find you work and help facilitate your songs and stuff. Yeah, I've just been doing that for like now, like 4 or 5 years professionally. And I just write songs from any genre, to pop, to R&B, to country, to rap. I mean, as long as it's can make money, my publisher's down. And that's really, it's really fun because sometimes, like I said, I can write a really dumb, silly song that like really, you know, when you're goofing around with your friends, like you just want to be silly, you can write a stupid song, or I could write something that you want people to just like cry over in like the same week, you know? So it's really cool. It's a cool job.
This is kind of reminding me of the Joni Mitchell song, You Turn Me On Like a Radio. And the story behind that song is that that David Geffen wanted her to write a hit. He was like, you write too many things that are just, you know, too out there. Just, we need a hit, write a hit. And she was like, oh, write a hit? You just want me to write a hit? And then she was like, how about a song that's called You Turn Me On Like a Radio? And it's a great song. So she did it.
Genius. She's genius. You know, who else did that was Sarah Bareilles. And she said her label was telling her that she needs to write happier stuff, happy, positive hits. And then she wrote Love Song. And it goes, I'm not going to write you a love song because you asked for it, because you need.
Yes, that's the same.
It's the big F you to her publisher, end up being one of her biggest songs. Maybe her biggest, probably not her biggest, but up there. And yeah, I love that. I've tried to write that song again for other artists. I don't remember who, but I've tried to write that before. Like, I don't want to do what you, it's literally, it's such a classic story for artists these days. They all get told by their publishers to stop being so weird. And it's like, that's cool. We're just all pushing people in to not be authentic. It's like such a weird, that's why music sounds the way it does. And we wonder why, you know, publishers since Joni Mitchell have been telling artists to be more basic. It's just so stupid.
I know that you've written for people like Louis, or written with Louis Tomlinson, Ben Platt, and in the pop world, you know, sometimes people can kind of write them off as basic or inauthentic, but that actually, to me, I really connect with pop music. Pop music is, in a lot of ways, not to just make it sound so casual, but everything to me. Like, when there's a catchy song, and you know that it is affecting so many people, and so many people are able to connect to it, or like a big bridge, like in every Katy Perry song and things like that. Like, it's exciting. I don't know. To me, I love it a lot. And also, I think about, you know, obviously we love Britney Spears here. This is the focus of this show. And it's always interesting to me that, you know, Britney doesn't write a lot of her music. She has written, you know, some of her songs, not really any of her big hits. But I also am always wondering, you know, if Baby One More Time had gone to another artist, would that artist have had the career that Britney Spears had? What is it about, you know, a song that is even written for an artist? They didn't participate in the writing of it at all. But when they sing it, it comes to life in a different way. Have you found that with any of your music, where you get it back and an artist has, you know, put their spin on it, and you're like, that's more than I could have ever wanted for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because everyone who you know replicates the original song is going to change it completely. I mean, even if they're singing it the exact same way, I mean, everyone's voice is so unique that in the way the pressure you put on each note, the way each note is held out, I mean, it takes on a whole new beast. In pop music, a lot of times they will match it to a T. Like, if the demo makes it all the way to like becoming a Britney Spears song, it's probably going to be recut to a T, because the demo has to be so good and so like magical to make it through the ranks that if she's recutting it, they're probably going to recut it to a T and match every single syllable. And it's more of like, I would say more of like the factory side of the music business. Like, not to say that these people aren't talented by any means, but it's just more like fine tuned. This has been gone through the testing of like different A&Rs. And like, this is it. You know, the songwriter who wrote it has 100 hits. So it's very much matched. Now, if I write a song for a new artist, they might say, can I rewrite this part? Or it's kind of interesting because it's different for everyone. Because now, as I'm sitting here saying this, like Kelly Clarkson, I would say is a different, it's even a different example where you can write a song for her. And because she's so an incredible singer and also kind of a powerhouse in the music industry, she can just say, I'm going to do whatever I want with this, you know, and I'm going to, and she'll sing, change all the melodies and just cause she can, you know. But then there's like that Britney Spears type pop. That's like, it's probably going to be just like fine tuned by like 10 different people and like, be like, this is the masterpiece. And then Britney will come in and do her thing. And a lot of times, like if Britney's writing on it, you know, I've never worked with her, but like, I would imagine that she's there giving as much like her input, what she wants to say. And I think what made her, I'm kind of skipping around.
This is great. Please keep doing it.
What made her cutting songs so cool for her, because first of all, she was working with Max Martin. He was the best producer of all time, most successful producer of all time. He was the one who did all of her tracks. And she was there in the room with them, you know, like writing the songs. I don't know how much she was participating, but her whole story was so finely tuned. Like her first thing was in a schoolgirl outfit. She was like flirting with her sexuality and wrote that I'm like a little baby, but I'm like a hot teenager or whatever the hell that was, you know, and like people just go nuts for that. And her songs were just so, it's kind of how we all felt that age, you know, as young girls, you know, it's just like, I want to be sexy, but it kind of scares me. So like, I'm just going to like hike up my school skirt or something. So anyway, her music supported that so well, you know, like every single song was to inform that narrative. And, you know, like, that's why those songs had to go to her, because no, who's going to sell it that good when the image is that tight, you know?
Yeah, it's also maybe even thinking of it in this way, she was able to, I mean, pop is, it's full of characters. And if you can become or inhabit a character or even an alter ego, if you will, it's everything. It really is performance. And I think that Max Martin was able to look at her and really, you know, be inspired by, like almost like she was a muse, like he got the character right away. And there's just that magic that happens when working together. And it's not even if she's not participating in the songwriting process, like you said, she's in that room and things happen, and it wouldn't have happened if she wasn't in that room. I mean, that makes me laugh. I think about it often that Britney Spears at age 15 was just hanging out in Sweden with a bunch of Swedish guys. Like she was a teenage girl just in Sweden hanging out. And it just makes me laugh every time I think of it. I don't even know why, but it just cracks me up. I am obsessed with watching the Taylor Swift videos of her writing music. And especially when she was writing Blank Space with Max Martin. Again, not a songwriter. And I was watching it, dissecting it, like, oh my God, this is so cool. The Louis Tomlinson song that you wrote, and I watched that video, and is that an example of, were you with him? Did you collaborate with him, or did you write that song and hand it into your publisher?
I wrote that with him. There was me, him, and a producer, and I think we made, that was our first session together. And, I had never met him before. So what you do is you just meet them, talk to them for like an hour or so, just try to like get comfortable with each other. Then the producer will like talk to and play some like chords and stuff. And then at the time, Louis was feeling like misunderstood. Like he just wanted to be seen as like a normal guy. He was telling me this. He was like going through a lot of stuff at the time in his family and whatnot. So he was just like, I feel like people think I have this amazing life and I'm just like going spending money and hooking up with girls and all this. He's like, I've actually had like a really hard couple years, and I just want to be seen as just like a normal dude, you know? And anyway, that's what was the story. So then we just start writing a song as a trio, and then that's how that song happened, basically. He recorded it. Actually, I think I might have recorded it. Yeah, and then he recorded it later.
I'm just like you. Problems look nothing like yours do. Yeah, I get sad too. And when I'm down, I need somebody to talk to. Yeah, I feel the same as you do. Same stress, same shit to go through. I'm just like you. If you only knew.
How many hours are you in the studio in that process?
I'd say like four or five hours. Doesn't take very long. Sometimes like up to 7 or 8. And if it's like if it's a bad session, it's going to go. I don't do 8 hour sessions anymore. If you don't have a song in 8 hours, it's not fun anymore. So I try to do like 4 or 5 hours per session. Sometimes it takes longer to cut vocals and stuff, but it's all one song a day. I have 5 sessions a week, you know, 5 songs a week.
Do you go in open, just ready to receive, you know, to be in the moment with the artist that you're working with? Or do you come with some ideas for melodies or, you know, some lyric ideas? And the same goes for them. Do they come in with ideas and do you prefer that? Or do you like when someone just comes in totally clean, open, you know, clean slate, you don't know what's going to happen?
I keep like a, on my notes, I put like little ideas that I come across through my day. And I think most artists and songwriters do the same thing. Keep a little notepad. And then when you go to a session, I would say 99% of the writers don't come with an idea unless they really got like one that they were holding for a specific writer that they love or something. It's like, I got this idea. I wouldn't even say 99. I would say like 70% of the time you're just flowing in the room. Like it's all coming from that moment. Just what's your mood like today? What are you going through? What pissed you off this morning? Whatever. And then if nothing happens naturally, because that first hour you talk to someone, and it's everybody does that. It's like what you do in songwriting sessions. We call it like free therapy, you know, because usually when you meet a stranger, you don't go directly into how depressed you are. But like songwriting sessions, you're like, oh God, I tried to fucking like call my ex last night, and, you know, I slept with, you know, and people are like, where they might be like TMI, it's like, oh my God, tell me more. And you just like really start talking about your deepest, darkest secrets. It's like a safe place. It's like a sacred place, you know, where you could just say whatever. And then usually in that moment, you'll be of like, oh, there's the song, you know? And that's, I would say, what happens 70% of the time. And then if nothing happens from those conversations, usually you just pull up your notes. Everyone starts throwing stuff out, but that's kind of the less fun way to write songs when you're like, okay, what about this? Because it doesn't feel as natural. Usually you just want to grab the magic in the moment, you know. Someone grabs a guitar and someone's just blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, oh, that's cool. And I would say that's how it happens. And it seems ridiculous that you would be able to come up with a song every day. But when you actually do it, it's actually not that hard. I mean, you never run out of stuff to talk about, right? You just, it's kind of like that. It's just like talking.
Yeah, for sure. And especially country songs. Or I don't know, maybe you would view this differently, but country songs are stories. And every day when we talk to someone, we share our stories with people. So
absolutely.
In working with Ben Platt, what was that like?
That was really cool. Obviously, he's just one of the best singers. A little bit different delivery than I was used to, because I'm used to these artists with like, I'm not used to singing on like Broadway stages. So that was like, an adjustment I had to make, and like, especially me having such a soft voice, I was like, I had to really think about that. But it was amazing. He had like what he did for his album was a camp, meaning like he'll fly, or if they live there, he basically did a camp in New York where he'll spend 2 weeks making his album, you know, with the writers and producers in the game that whatever have. His A&Rs will be like, we think Jessie would be good for this because she's good at ballads or something. I don't know what I have no idea why they picked me to go there, but yeah, I got flown to New York and just chill with him for a couple. Well, I stayed in a hotel, but then we all meet every day, like 15 of us or something. We all just like chat, hang out, drink some coffee. And then we all like, they gave us our kind of studios set up. So we all like run into the rooms and then write a song. Sometimes Ben will be in the room. Sometimes he'll just pop in for like an hour or so and give notes. And then you all just record your stuff. Sometimes you got to sing it. Sometimes he'll come in and sing it. He'll tell you like, I like that line, but not that line. And then you just, and it's beautiful. You know, you're just sitting like writing songs. Like you can write about, he'll tell you what's going on in his life and you try to interpret it, you know? Yeah. And then you just kind of leave it alone and don't think about it for a year and hope that they jazz it up, which is what happened with him.
This sounds like so much fun. I can't hold it in. That just sounds like so much fun. A bunch of people getting together and you're just being creative and there's rooms and start the day. It's like summer camp. You're drinking coffee, talking about the plans for the day, and then you let it flow. I mean, my God, was there a campfire at night? I love this.
A bunch of getting really fucked up at night, every night. Songwriters are insane. Because they let us sleep in till like 11 every day. So we literally can do whatever we want. And we all are like always searching for inspiration. So we just live, I would say most songwriters really like to party. So it's usually at night, just a lot of partying and then waking up the next day and talking about it in a song. Ben Platt, I guess, was a little more chiller. He's like more of like the chiller vibe, but all the songwriters there, we were having fun at night, just vibing, bouncing around New York.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What do you listen to, or right now, what are you finding to be really inspiring?
I have certain songwriters that I like to follow, like follow their work. They write for numerous artists, but like, there's certain people's work that I just really get inspired by who write for like different pop artists. Like there's this girl, Madison Love, who has written for everybody and her work is amazing. There's this other girl who's coming up big right now named Tia Scola. And everything she puts out is incredible. Yeah. This girl, Ali Tamposi, she wrote Kelly Clarkson Stronger, but she also wrote like a song for James Blake lately. She's just all over the place. And then I, in my spare time, I listen to French indie house music, and I listen to Bossa Nova lately. Bossa Nova is like all I've been listening to, because it's like beautiful in the morning in the jungle to listen to Bossa Nova. I can't really listen to a lot of pop music, because unless I'm like drunk and just partying, because it's really annoying to listen to pop music because I overthink everything, like why that sounded good, etc. So I try to listen to stuff without English.
Yeah, I get that. As a person, as a writer, I don't, and or an actor, I don't watch things that I could write or be in. So like I like Vampire Diaries, I'm like, ooh, I love this. Like I can escape and watch Vampire Diaries because I'll never be on that show. And I'll probably never write about teenage vampires either. So it's like a nice, relaxing, enjoyable experience. I wouldn't be able to just be watching, you know, sitcoms. That would just be too much for me. I understand that.
Too much. It's not fun.
What is your feeling about Britney Spears? Just if someone said, Britney Spears, an alien arrives on planet Earth and says, tell me about her. What do you think about her?
I think she's a true icon. I think she's really talented, incredibly talented. I think she's a good mirror for society to kind of like, unfortunately off of her back, but like, I think that it's one of those people that become so iconic that we get to see ourselves, you know, with, especially with this new doc and stuff. Like, I wasn't surprised at all by the documentary because I already, of course, like, I knew all that stuff, you know, like I felt bad for her back in the day, you know, when I've always felt so bad for these like young stars that get gobbled up. And now even more so that I see it from the inside, like how these people get their identity stolen from them without even realizing it because they're young and impressionable. But I think she's one of the best artists we've had in a long time. I think the way she like came in and was just like positive and gave people like sexual unlocked people's sexual power, like girls, like in a cool way, in a way that we're like, I mean, some people probably thought it was bad, but I think it's cool to push the envelope, you know. And maybe she wasn't the best singer in the world, you know, but she was pretty good. And that's only one small part of being a rock star, you know. It's half of it is owning it, you know. People don't give shit to Bob Dylan all the time about maybe not being the best singer, you know. I think people just like to pick on her sometimes about that, but she owned her stuff and she was great. Some of the best pop songs we have, and she's dope. I hope she's doing okay. You know, like I think she's probably having a hard time right now with everything going on, but I fuck with her. She's cool. I'd love to have a song with her. I hope if she ever puts music out, it'd be a cool artist to try for.
I think Britney also has a lot to give in the songwriting process. She's a true collaborator. And I think that she really does feed off the energy of others. And she wants to have deep conversations. And all the people who I've spoken to who have worked with Britney directly know Britney at one point in her life, they all say that she goes deep really fast. She wants to talk about the meaning of life. She wants to know about the lives of others. She really goes there. And she's also super weird. I mean, this is exactly who we want in a recording studio writing music. And I wish someone could be on the other side of her and ask her, like, what do you want to talk about?
Right. I think she's probably had her like glory day where she really was able to have freedom before she became worth so much money, you know, but maybe they gave her some more room to have input because no one really knew what was going to happen. But then when she became a billion-dollar industry, you know, like everyone's got to have an opinion and everyone's putting pressure on everyone, not even just her. Her manager gets the pressure from the A&R. The A&R gets the pressure from the head of the label. The head of the label gets, and everyone's like going nitro to make sure we get it right. Cause this is our big ticket item. This is how we all take the, whatever, the holiday. So everyone's getting their hands in it. And that's so much pressure to put on a teenager, knowing all that's there. When it started as this cute thing where you're just hanging out with these Swedish guys, you know, and you're just like having fun. But like money fucks everything up. So I think she just, as anyone would, you just lose your like equilibrium or something a bit in all of that bullshit. Cause everyone's telling you different things and you don't know why they're telling. Plus the fame, you know, fame fucks you up. So anyway, her songwriting became probably more factory to where she lost her voice in it, you know, and didn't have much of a say because look where she was, you know. Maybe you can't question the people when you become the biggest star in the world. You're like, I guess I should listen to these people. I don't know.
And she really pissed people off. This is a really fun story. When she was, this was post Kevin, during this like dark period in Britney's life, she had started recording an album called The Original Doll. And she was mad at everyone. There's a song called Mona Lisa, and it is really good. That the album is, there's some good songs on this album. It was never released, and she at night got in her car, drove into the valley with the tape, and she walked into Kiss FM and was like, yeah, here's my first single. It was not finished. She showed up, and the DJ said that she showed up with no bodyguard, nothing. It was just her. Just drove over in her car and sat down, and she answered a few questions. And her label, her manager, everyone went wild. They were so mad at her.
Do you have to take a super secret CIA mission secure route to Burbank from your crib so you don't get followed? I don't see anybody outside.
I know, it's
there wasn't
awesome.
One camera anywhere.
I know, it's great.
How'd you pull it off?
I don't know,
you
just kind of snuck away.
Did you put a disguise on? You just bring a gigantic guy with you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for hanging tonight.
Thank you.
Good luck with your album. It's untitled.
It's probably going to be called The Original Doll. So.
And it's half done?
Yeah, it's halfway done right now.
All right. So maybe by the summer, maybe by the fall.
Yeah, maybe a little bit earlier.
And they did not release the album to try. And to me, that sounds like they were so mad at her that they said, you know what? You did this, so we aren't releasing the album. Like as a way to punish her for doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's yeah. I think that these people out of principle have to like flex like that to show like, look, the artists can't just, it's the contract from the gate. You already sign away your rights to do that. So even contractually, she's not like, there can't be like, well, hey guys, she's an artist. It's like literally in the contract that she can't do that. I'm not saying that that makes it okay. I think that's stupid. I think artists should be able to do what they want. That's rock and roll. But like, contractually, she's not allowed to do that. So then the labels have to keep their, it's like the boss, you know, it's like the mom. It's like, I'm not going to give you an inch because once you get an inch, you'll take a mile, you know? So it's like, I think these labels, because they don't want to become, what I really think it is they don't want the artists to become aware how powerful they are without them, you know? So they need to shut them down so they can always think that they are dependent on them.
Yeah. I mean, even now in the movie industry, movie stars, they're kind of dinosaurs. There's only a few left. And I honestly don't think there will be any new ones because the new stars are properties. Iron Man, Superman, Wonder Woman. And they don't even care. Well, we have to keep the actor who plays, you know, Batman happy. No, they'll just get a new Batman and they can have complete control over Batman, but they can't have complete control over Ben Affleck. And it's the way that they are just annihilating the idea of the movie star because they've realized that they have too much power.
Yeah, it's kind of like a battle of the artists. It's kind of the last like belch of like this great battle between artists and corporations. But I start wondering then why we got to even sign it in the first place. You know, why? I mean, I can't really speak too much on the movie industry because I don't even have a TV, you know. So, but I know in the music industry, it's kind of this epic battle from the jump where they were signing Kurt Cobain for $400 and Jimi Hendrix for $1 back in the day. You know, like, these people have been screwing over artists since the jump.
Jesse, do you have a favorite Britney Spears song where you look at that and you say that's a pop masterpiece?
Oh, my God. So many masterpieces. Toxic is probably one of the best songs of all time. Oops, I Did It Again is even so amazing. I was just talking about that the other day with my friend. Like, if you even just say that to like a dude or something, I mean, I'm gay, but like, just like, oops, I did it again. You're just like, you want to, like, that's the girl you want, because she's rejecting you, but she's doing it in a way that she's flirting with you. And that line is so simple. The word oops, it's literally like the Urkel, remember, like, oops, did I do that? It's that whole thing of like, oopsie, like, I don't give a fuck, you know? I just love the power in that one moment. Oops, boom. You're just like, oh, she doesn't care. She doesn't care that she did that. And I just think that is really what pop song is all about. How can you make one word so powerful, you know? It's just incredible. I don't really know, like, you know, I was actually more of an NSYNC person, so I love Christina too. You know, I know you're Britney, but I was obsessed with Justin Timberlake.
Me too. There's another line from a Britney song where she says, you want your crazy, I got your crazy. Or call me, like, something where she's saying, like, you think I'm crazy, well, I got your crazy. And it's so good. It's just like, it's similar to that oops where you're like, oh my God, she's great. Yeah. I love her. She's so good.
So much sass.
So much sass.
So much sass.
And you know what else? Another thing. I talk about this a lot too. Britney seems to pull off talking in a song better than most. She can do a full monologue and it's just perfect. And it doesn't even rub me the wrong way. Other people do it and I'm like, get this out of here. Come on now.
I know.
She really can. She can really set up a song in the middle of a song. I just love when she talks in a song. Jesse, do you think that being a woman has helped you, and that artists feel, not to say, well, yeah, that they feel safer? I know that it's been known to be a real toxic environment, especially for female artists, especially thinking about young women in a recording studio with, you know, lots of guys and,
oh yeah,
obviously, you know, the Kesha of it all.
Yeah, I think that absolutely. I think people feel safer on me because I'm a woman and because I'm queer, you know. It's like, I don't have a lot of power over them, you know. I'm just like here because I want to be, you know. And also, a good songwriter just learns how important that skill is anyway. I work with such respectful dudes. Like, it's incredible. And I think most of them are amazing. But of course, there's always going to be a group of them that like became producers because they want to like prey on these like young girls. And like, that is in my experience most of the time. Most of these guys are incredibly emotionally open, nice, gentle people. In fact, it surprised me how often I wasn't seeing like skeeze buckets, you know. Most skeezy people are honestly in the like industry, in the other side, the non-creative side. But the people in the rooms, they're sweet as hell and nice. Like, but I will say, I'm not a young teenage, hot teenager. So that's my experience. I'm like, no one's trying to like come at me that way, these guys, you know? So it's like, I probably just get a better version of it. You know, I'm sure my friend, you know, I work with this girl, Charlotte Lawrence, who she's 21. She's a model. She's hot as hell. She's like always doing a TikTok dance, and she probably has to deflect men 24 hours a day and navigate that. So
This just reminded me, I was thinking of pre-pandemic times. I was at Arts Deli and was sitting there with my computer doing some work, and Linda Perry sat across from me in another booth. So we were kind of facing each other. And she just carried there was this energy with her. It was like a light was around her. It was crazy. She like floated through the room. And as she walked by me, she looked right at me. and smiled. And it was the most pure, honest smile. And then she took off and I was like, I've just been blessed. Like it was really magical. And I forgot about that moment until we started talking.
She's a legend. Yeah, she's still writing songs. She's still at it. I haven't written with her, but I've been in the same building with her a few times. It is a very powerful energy. And yeah, I love those like classic songwriters, the Diane Warrens, these women trailblazers for women songwriters, even Joni Mitchell, Dolly Parton, you know, these people are paved the way. Mm. They weren't afraid to speak their mind, you know. They are powerful people, very inspiring. Sounds like you need to be a songwriter.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's really not hard.
Maybe if you're good at it, doesn't seem hard. Jesse, where can we find you? Tell us everything you're doing and if you want to be found. I know that you're in the jungle, so let me know.
Yeah. Well, I have work out that people can check out. My artist name is Tomboy, Tomboi. And I have some music released on there. And I took a break during COVID, but I'm going to start releasing music again. And yeah, it's really the only place you can find me. I'm on Instagram, you know, Tomboy on all my socials. And I always am posting my work on there. So if you're interested. Oh, yeah. You know what I can tell you guys about? I'm doing this thing. It's called Music with Friends. And it's a music community that I've built over the last like 10 years. And it used to be called Jesse and Friends, but I changed to Music with Friends, and it's going to be relaunching in a month or so. And if you're interested in just like the songwriting world in general, it's going to be very informative. And I think we might even have a podcast as well, but that's down the road. But anyway, check that out as well. So yeah, that's
amazing.
It.
Amazing. Thanks, Jesse. To Talk About Britney is an Irios podcast. It is produced by Maria Lasucci. And if you need to talk about Britney, the We Need to Talk About Britney hotline is here. Just call 814-277-3277. Our phone lines are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because sometimes you just need to talk about Britney. And if you enjoyed my conversation with Jesse Thomas and want to check her music out, search for Tomboy. You can find her music on Apple Music and Spotify. Thanks, guys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.